The scripture reading for this evening will be taken from the Proverbs, the first chapter. We'll be reading from chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 7. And it reads, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise the wisdom and instruction."
Certainly there is great need for wisdom in the society in which we live. Lack of wisdom is destroying the lives of many people, especially young people, and making fools out of some who are old. The Bible teaches us great and marvelous things about marriage, the home, friendships, our souls, but such are often broken and lost because of a lack of wisdom. The Scriptures teach us concerning the need to walk in wisdom. If you would please open your Bibles to the Ephesian letter, the fifth chapter, and let's read beginning at verse 15. In the Ephesian letter, the fifth chapter, verse 15 says, "Look therefore carefully how ye walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." To walk a life of wisdom is certainly something that is commanded in this passage. The Word of God, of course, equips us for every good thing and helps us to be the person that God wants us to be. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 15 or verse 16, the Scriptures teach, "Every Scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work." Be it a given that if the Scriptures sufficiently furnish us unto every good work, they also help us how to live a life of wisdom, how to walk in wisdom. The book of Proverbs, we're going to begin a study of that tonight, and I don't know how many lessons we will have as the book is a lengthy book, but we're going to be talking about the book of Proverbs on Sunday night for some time. But we notice that the book of Proverbs begins by identifying Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, as the author. The date in which Solomon lived, of course, is seen on the screen long before Plato, Aristotle, and other wise men that have been considered wise by society in general. This book, according to Proverbs chapter 25, beginning at verse 1, was copied by the men of Hezekiah, who reigned about 715 to about 686 B.C. Solomon was a very wise man, and perhaps when we think of his name, we think of wisdom. In 1 Kings chapter 3, we see that there was a certain amount of wisdom that appears to be inherent within Solomon himself when God offered him wisdom far greater than any man that had ever lived. In 1 Kings chapter 3, if you'll notice beginning at verse 5, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. It says, "In Gibeon, Jehovah appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God asked," or said, "Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great loving kindness, according as he walked before thee in truth and in uprightness, and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great loving kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Jehovah my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give thy servant, therefore, an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this thy great people? The thing that Solomon said pleased the Lord, verse 10 tells us. And in verse 11 it says, And God said unto him, Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there hath been none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. We notice that the last promise was conditional. But what we notice in these verses is the wisdom, it seems inherent within Solomon, to ask for wisdom and understanding to guide and to rule over this great people. Indeed, beloved, we find in the fourth chapter of the book of 1 Kings an illustration of the great wisdom that was granted unto Solomon by God. The illustration, of course, involves two women, a familiar story to you, who both had children, and one of them had a child that died. And the debate became, whose child is the living child? And, of course, Solomon called for a sword. He was to divide the child and give half to each. And the real mother of the child said, Don't destroy the child, give the child to the other woman. And Solomon said, Bring forth the child, this is the mother. And those round about marveled at the great wisdom that Solomon had demonstrated. Solomon, according to 1 Kings chapter 4, and in verse 29, the text tells us, And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east, and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, and it begins to identify Ethan the Zerahite, Heman the Chalcol, and Darda the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all the nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Solomon, his wisdom was known round about. Of course, in this text, we also notice that his famous wisdom is seen in over 3,000 proverbs. He also wrote Ecclesiastes and the Song of Solomon. As we come toward the end of the book of Proverbs, we see words that were written, wisdom from Agur. And I'll just tell you, I don't know a thing in the world about the man. The Bible doesn't tell us any more about him than what we read here in Proverbs chapter 30. And then in Proverbs chapter 31, the wisdom of King Lemuel that has been quoted so many times, describing the worthy woman in Proverbs chapter 31. And again, I'll tell you, I don't know any more about this man than you do. The Bible simply doesn't tell us anything more about this man, except the words of wisdom that are revealed in the book of Proverbs. When we begin to study a particular book, it's frequent in our study to outline the book. I had difficulty outlining the book of Proverbs. Chris and I were talking about how am I going to teach from the book of Proverbs. Was I going to use some kind of an outline? And we discussed the difficulty of outlining the book, because the book is just an arrangement, or without a particular arrangement, wise sayings. And how do you outline something that just contains one statement after another of wise sayings? They're really not collected together, but much like life itself, it is a book of wise sayings about life. The purpose of the book is generally recognized from the first chapter in verses 1 through 7 that was read just a moment ago in your hearing. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. The writer says to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. To give to the simple or the naive prudence. To give to the young man knowledge and discretion. To give to the wise man increased learning. And the man of understanding, wise counsel. Thus, the purpose of the book set forth in the first few verses of this book. Now, what's it designed to do? James tells us in James chapter 1, reading beginning at verse 5, he says, "But if any of you lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting, for he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man thinketh that he shall receive anything of the Lord, a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Now certainly, as James tells us, to ask for wisdom, it's not unconditional. It's something that we are to learn. And of course, the Bible gives us instruction how we can learn wisdom. In the book of Proverbs, we learn to act wisely and righteously. We learn how to treat others with fairness. We learn how to give, or the Scriptures teach us in the book of Proverbs, how that the ignorant might have some common sense, and how that the young might recognize sound advice. The wise can even be made more wise. But beloved, that takes effort. If we are to increase in wisdom and the ignorant are to be given common sense, we cannot ignore what God says about it, even in the book of Proverbs, a collection of wise sayings. In Proverbs chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, the writer says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words, and lay up my commandments with thee, so as to incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou cry after discernment, and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seek her as silver, and search for her as the hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of Jehovah, and find the knowledge of God. For Jehovah giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Now in these verses, notice the word "if" and "then." They occur throughout this context, stating a condition and a conclusion that is based upon that condition. So we note that in order to have wisdom, one must set forth the effort to have the wisdom that the writer speaks of. Now that demands a definition, Richard. A dictionary definition. What is wisdom? According to the 20th Century Encyclopedia of Religious Knowledge, it's defined as a realistic approach to the problems of life. Nelson's Bible Dictionary defines it: the ability to judge correctly and follow the best course of action based on knowledge and understanding. And I particularly like this one. A proverb is a short sentence based on a long experience. And that's exactly what wisdom is. Just a brief statement that's based on the experience. And Solomon, of course, relates his experience. Now, if you had the opportunity to seek wisdom, to ask a question of the wisest man who ever lived, and allow that to govern your life, wouldn't you consider that a great advantage? But unfortunately, sometimes we feel obligated to run the same race, to have the same experiences, only to have the same conclusions in our life, but much after the disaster that we've created from the kind of living in which we have engaged. Now, there are some illustrations that I want to use to talk about the Proverbs as general truths. Generally, the Proverbs stand for truth. Doesn't mean there aren't any exceptions. For example, in Proverbs chapter 10 and in verse 4, "He becometh poor that worketh with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." Now you ask yourself the question, was the Lord rich or poor? Well, you say, well, he was poor. Does that then mean that he worked with a slack hand? Well, no. But generally, that statement is true. It illustrates what a proverb is. It is a general truth. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, the text tells us, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but a grievous word stirreth up anger." Well, did the Lord speak with soft answers or grievous words? But yet we find that he stirred up enough wrath among the people of the Jews that they crucified him. Now again, this is a general statement of truth. In Proverbs 22 and in verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it." These illustrate general truths. It doesn't mean that the Proverbs are set forth to tell us things for which there are no exceptions. Indeed, generally, these things are true. Most of the time, these conclusions are accurate. But the value of wisdom is seen in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, where we see discourses extolling the value of wisdom. I have marked in my Bible a number of passages that simply extol the nature of wisdom. If you'll notice, for example, in the first chapter, verse 7, it says, "The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of knowledge, but the foolish despise wisdom and instruction." Wisdom is placed upon a pedestal. In the passage we just read in chapter 2, verse 2, "So as to incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thy heart to understanding." Verse 6, "For Jehovah giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to them that walk in integrity." And then at verse 10, "For wisdom shall enter into thy heart, and knowledge shall be pleasant unto thy soul." You'll notice at verse 13 of the next chapter, chapter 3, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." Verse 19, "Jehovah by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens." Verse 21, "My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion." Chapter 4, verse 5, "Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget not, neither decline from the words of my mouth." Verse 7, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom. Yea, with all thy getting, get understanding." Now we could go on through the first several chapters of the book of Proverbs and underscore statement after statement after statement, showing us the importance of wisdom. The virtue of wisdom is seen in the prosperous life that it can produce. In Proverbs chapter 3, if you'll notice beginning at verse 13 once again, it says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, the man that getteth understanding. For the gaining of it is better than the gaining of silver, and the profit thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and none of the things thou canst desire are to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her." Notice how that wisdom is personified, and the importance of wisdom is seen in this brief reading as being something that is extremely rich to have. Its value is also found in guarding us against many pitfalls. In verse 21, continuing, "My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. That then shalt thou walk in thy way securely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, when thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh, for Jehovah will be thy confidence and will keep thy foot from being taken." Again, the value of wisdom helps us to keep out of the potholes, so to speak. It helps us to walk in a life, or walk a life, that is free from the many pitfalls that those of the world fall into. Some of the pitfalls that are frequently warned against in the book of Proverbs has to do, for example, with the immoral woman. In Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 through verse 14, we'll not read all of this, but simply note a few of the verses. It says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, incline thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest preserve discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on Sheol, so that she findeth not the level path of life. Her ways are unstable, and she knoweth it not." Now the wisdom writer is instructing this young man, don't get hooked up with a woman like that. And then in the 6th chapter, in verse 24, it says, "To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the foreigner's tongue, lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. And on it goes. In verse 27, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Or can one walk upon hot coals and his feet not be scorched? Sometimes we counsel those who are young people, don't ever date somebody that you wouldn't consider marrying. Because it's quite possible that you'll marry the person that you've been dating. Have you ever thought of that? In all probability, you'll marry somebody that you've been dating. So you be careful about the person that you date. In the 7th chapter of the book of Proverbs, beginning at verse 4, he says, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the foreigner that flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked forth through my lattice, and I beheld among the simple ones, and I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. And he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening of the day, in the middle of the night, and in the darkness. Here is a young man who did not heed the advice of the wise man Solomon. And so consequently, he went the way of the immoral woman. And he went over and over in the wrong times of the night. And he, of course, was caught in her trap, as we shall study a bit later in our series of studies. And the writer warns concerning evil companions. In the 12th chapter of the book of Proverbs, reading beginning at verse 10, the writer says, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons is void of understanding. The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. In the transgression of the lips is the snare of the evil man, but the righteous shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the doings of the man's hands shall be rendered unto him. Notice again, the wicked man desireth the net of evil men, but he that is following the vain man, verse 11, is void of understanding. That's simple. That doesn't need a lot of explaining. And so we see that laziness also is warned against as a pitfall that man can fall into. In Proverbs chapter 6, beginning at verse 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no chief, overseer, or ruler, provideth her bread in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as a robber, and thy want as an armed man. You sleep all the time? You be careful. The wisdom writer is telling you that can be dangerous and can cause you to fall into the pit. In chapter 8 of the book of Proverbs, there are a number of things that are stated just simply as blips throughout these verses. Wisdom is the source of true wealth. It is better than rubies, we read in verse 11. Wisdom dwells with prudence, verse 12. It leads in the way of righteousness, verse 20. And in verse 35, whoso finds wisdom finds life and obtains the favor of the Lord. And then at verse 36, the writer indicates, for one to sin against wisdom is to wrong his own soul. In these passages, we're going to notice what the writer is talking about and study them at some length. But we also notice that wisdom comes from two sources. It can arrive from simply trial and error. Now that's not a good source. Let me just say that right up close. Trial and error is not the way to derive wisdom. The writer of the book of Galatians tells us in chapter 6, verse 7, that we reap what we sow. In Proverbs chapter 13, the wisdom writer tells us in verse 15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Sometimes when we think that we can learn some things at the University of Hard Knocks, that's just exactly how we learn them. We learn them after the bumps and the bruises are over, but yet we still have the bumps and the bumps and the bruises and the problems that we have created because of the decisions that we have made. What do we learn in Scripture? Well, in the Ephesian letter, in the 6th chapter, reading beginning at verse 2, the younger should learn some things from the older. In verse 2 it says, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them in the chastening," and "admonition of the Lord." Children are to be learners. They are to be pupils, students. They are to learn from those who are older. In 1 Peter chapter 5, reading beginning at verse 5, the Apostle Peter said it this way. He said, "Likewise ye younger, be subject unto the elder. Yea, all of you, gird yourselves with humility to serve one another, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." Those of you who are younger, be willing to listen to those who are older. In 1 Kings chapter 12, we see a classic illustration. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, did not gain the great wisdom that his father had to offer. When the people came to Rehoboam and desired that Rehoboam would make their burdens lighter, Rehoboam counseled with the old men who had sat in counsel with his wise father. And the old men told him if he would comply with the wishes of the people, they would be faithful to him forever. But Rehoboam counseled with the young men. And the young men told him, in principle, "You show them who's the boss." And you remember the response of Rehoboam. He told them that if they thought that his father's burdens were heavy, just watch out, because his was indeed going to be heavier. Now that's a very, very loose paraphrase. But that's the principle that we see that the young men advised for Rehoboam. Rehoboam wouldn't listen to the old men, but rather he listened to the young men and divided the kingdom of God because of his foolishness. In 1 Kings chapter 12, we see such a classic illustration. Now we might learn from the counsel of others. Those who have already traveled the path ought to know where the potholes are. Uninspired people who have had greater experience than we have offer us great opportunity to learn. In Proverbs chapter 12, the writer tells us at verse 15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that is wise hearkeneth unto counsel." A foolish man won't listen. Won't listen to anybody. He's right. Right all of the time. You know, someone told me just recently that no one is right 100% of the time. And no one is wrong 100% of the time. Well, see, you can even get some things right by accident. But the point being, we need to be willing to listen. Those who have traveled the path ought to have some understanding of the potholes that are in the road and where the path leads. In Proverbs chapter 29 and in verse 19, Proverbs 29 verse 19, once again, we see that the fool will not listen. A servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not give heed. I particularly like the last part of that. Here is a man who has been instructed, and he understands the instruction to be right. But in order to prove himself for some foolish reason, he will not listen. He will not be governed by the very thing that he knows to be right. But let us listen to inspired teachers. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, reading beginning at verse 15, the text tells us, "And that from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Timothy had learned some things. He had been taught some things from the Scriptures from a babe. But underscore in your mind, please, from this passage, that the things that he had been taught were able to make him wise. What other source of real wisdom is there than the counsel of God that declares the end from the beginning, as Isaiah revealed in Isaiah chapter 46 and in verse 10. And again, let's raise the question, who really is the wise man? James tells us in chapter 3 and in verse 13, James 3 verse 13, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good life his works in meekness of wisdom." The writer says, if you want to know who is wise, look at the life that he's living. And we want to look at some things in the book of Proverbs that helps us to understand a little bit about who the wise man is. In Proverbs chapter 10, notice with me at verse 19, we're going to simply take the time just to read some of these passages. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. It says, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not transgression, but he that refraineth his lips doeth wisely. My mother used to say, it's better for a man to keep his mouth shut and let everybody think that he's a fool than to open his mouth and remove all doubt. Now that's exactly what this writer is saying. The man who is wise is the man who refrains his lips. In the 17th chapter of the book of Proverbs, reading in verse 28, again the text tells us, he that spareth his words hath knowledge, and he that is of a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. When he shutteth his lips, he is esteemed as prudent. Even a foolish man who keeps his foolishness to himself is looked upon as a wise man. In Proverbs chapter 29, in verse 11, Proverbs 29, verse 11, a fool uttereth all his anger, but a wise man keepeth it back and stilleth it. Have you ever heard the expression that sometimes it's just best to say everything instead of keeping it bottled up? That's not what this passage says. This passage says that a fool just says everything, but a wise man bottles it up. He keeps it back and stills it. He makes it come under his command. That is a wise man. James tells us in the New Testament, in James chapter 1, in verse 19, that there were some things that they already knew. They already understood. Ye know this, my beloved brethren, but let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Let me ask you, beloved, do you make your wisest decisions when you're angry or when you've got your anger under control? Do you say things that you ought to say when you're angry? Most of us, when we're angry, allow our tongues to say things otherwise we would not have said. But the wise man is the man who refrains his lips and listens. When James says, ye know this, my beloved brethren, that ought not to surprise us, because those who would read the epistle of James ought to have had knowledge of what the Old Testament text said. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20, the text says, the tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. David in the Psalms expressed it this way, set a watch, O Jehovah, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Proverbs 21, verse 23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. And then the familiar text of Proverbs 25, verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in network of silver. And then chapter 13, verse 3, he that guardeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Proverbs 29, verse 20, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than him. And especially let us be slow to speak when we are angry, as James said, for death and life are in the power of the tongue. The wisdom writer recorded in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Now, who is the wise man, James asked. The answer is seen in the book of Proverbs. He's a man who develops a healthy fear of God. In Proverbs chapter 1 and in verse 7. Again, the text that was read in your hearing, the fear of Jehovah is the beginning of knowledge, but the foolish despiseth wisdom and instruction. The same thought is expressed in chapter 9 and in verse 10. The wise man is the man who heeds the instruction of his parents, as we read in chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. The wise man is the man who accepts instruction from others. The fool is the man who will not accept it, even when he understands it to be true. And in Proverbs chapter 12, in verse 1, whoso loveth correction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. The man who won't listen when he is reproved or corrected, the Bible describes him as a fool. Who is ultimately the wise man? The wise man is the man who built his house upon the rock. And when the rain descended and the floods came, his house stood firm, for he had built his house solid upon the rock. The wise man is the man who built his house upon the rock. The foolish man is the man who built his house upon the sand. And when the rains came and the floods descended, his house was destroyed because he had built upon the sand. Who is the wise man and the foolish man in the text of Matthew chapter 7? The wise man is the man who heard the word and obeyed it. The foolish man is the man who heard the word and did not obey it. What we see regarding wisdom is the man who submits himself to the authority of God. And to submit himself to the authority of God is to recognize the place and the importance of obedience. The wise man is the man who is prepared now. In Proverbs chapter 30, as we noted even in verse 25, the lowly ants prepare for the future. But yet we notice that the wise man of James chapter 1 is the man who hears and obeys. He is not the man who hears and does not obey, deceiving himself. The wise man is the man who is faithful unto death. For indeed it is he that shall receive the crown of life. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. For I would have you know how greatly I strive for you, and for them at Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be comforted, they being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Note it now. That they may know the mystery of God, even Christ, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden. This passage emphasizes the relationship of being in Christ. You want to truly be the wise man tonight? There are those among us perhaps who are not in Christ, who have never yet rendered obedience to the gospel of Christ. The wise man is the man who sees that he's lost and undone, separated from God, as we talked about this morning in our lesson on salvation. The wise man is the man who sees his need, sees the need to obey the gospel. Time and opportunity is yours tonight. Do you believe that Jesus is indeed the Christ? Would you turn from your sin in godly repentance? Would you also be willing to confess your faith and to be baptized into Christ this very night? Everything that is needed is ready. The question is, what about you? Would you prove yourself tonight to be wise, or would you prove yourself to be the foolish man, having opportunity to obey the gospel and passing it by? Perhaps I'm talking to someone tonight who has obeyed the gospel, but you're not faithful. You're not doing the things you know you must. Would you be the wise man tonight? Would you be the man who would restore your soul to faithfulness through your confession of error and repentance of it? If you be subject to the invitation, make it known tonight while we stand together and sing this song.
There's a fountain of grace for you.
Will you come?